Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Welcome, all of you out there in the Savage Nation. It is great to fill in for Michael once again. Michael is taking today off for some much-needed R&R. He is going to be back, batteries recharged and ready to go, doing his usual incredible work on behalf of the United States, serving the cause of truth and justice everywhere. My friends, for those of you that don't know me, I am a columnist at the Washington Times. You can read my work every Sunday in the commentary section. And I've also had the privilege of sitting in for Michael and guest hosting for him. Really, it's been about, I think, 5-6 months now. And I just want to thank you once again, my friend. You have no idea how much I treasure every one of these guest host appearances. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be filling in, to fill in for you. You truly are a living legend. You are, as I've said repeatedly, and I don't want to be a broken record here, but you can never speak truth too often. Michael, you truly are a revolutionary, a pioneer in the talk radio industry. And as a journalist and as a columnist who's been in Washington now for many years, In particular, I want to thank you for the work that you've done in exposing the evil of Islamic fascism and the growing threat of jihad. And I want to congratulate you on your book, Banned in Britain. It is an absolutely sizzling read. And more than being just a great read, it is the story of a patriot who has paid in many ways a very dear price for being banned in Britain with now a target on his back, because you had the courage to speak about the growing threat that we in America have now witnessed and seen and felt firsthand last Thursday in the massacre that took place at Fort Hood. And to all of you out there in the Savage Nation, right now at this moment, Barack Hussein Obama has embarked upon a 9-day trip to Asia. And as he is now flying across the Pacific, the question that now we have to ask is perhaps the most important question that a nation or a people can face. And that is, shall we now be a country that will stand up for its values and its national interest in the face of a growing Islamic fascist threat that has now come to our homeland once again? Because what I find absolutely incredible, and I'm now speaking as a journalist in Washington, has been the absolute cowardice and refusal of the mainstream media to stand up and call that act on Thursday, that butcher, Nidal Hassan, who walked into Fort Hood at 1:20 in the afternoon, where our brave men and women were getting ready to deploy to fight for our freedoms in Iraq and Afghanistan. And remember, these were men and women who were defenseless. They were unarmed. They were like sheep to the slaughter. And they were waiting to get their final eye exams, their final medical exams, many literally just days away from being deployed to make the ultimate sacrifice for all of us, potentially. And this man, this coward, this butcher, Nidal Hassan, this animal, walked in to Fort Hood with 2 pistols loaded and fired off over 100 rounds, slaughtering and murdering 13 of our brave men and women and wounding 29 more. And as many of them lay on the floor and lay on the ground, screaming in pain, he stood there, the cold-blooded killer that he was, and he began to shoot them in the head and in the chest to finish them off. And the question that I have now to the mainstream media, and in particular to Barack Hussein Obama, if that was not an act of terrorism, then what is? Because as we now know definitively, through numerous eyewitness accounts, Nidal Hussein walked in there and screamed the jihadist cry, Allahu Akbar, God is great. And as now we've been finding out over the last couple of days, and as I've been learning through high-ranking intelligence and military sources here in Washington, D.C., Nidal Hassan was somebody who was deeply immersed in jihadist literature. He had an intimate relationship and contact with an imam in Northern Virginia, a man by the name of Anwar Alawi. Imam Alawi in Northern Virginia, right across the Potomac River, while Hassan was doing his residency at Walter Reed Hospital, Hassan would attend that radical mosque and listen to Alawi's fiery speeches, where he called for the mass murder of Americans, where he glorified jihad against our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, where he said that it is the duty of all Muslims to oppose the American infidel and to now commit suicide bombings. And we now have learned that Hassan regularly spoke and emailed with Alawi after Alawi fled this country after 9/11 because he was being investigated by the FBI for links to two 9/11 hijackers. And as the intelligence community knew that Hassan was communicating with Alawi, just today, in my paper, The Washington Times, we have come out with a bombshell of a story. And this has been collaborated furthermore. If you go to michaelsavage.com, there's even an excellent, another superb story to complement our story about Hassan's growing ties to jihadists in foreign and domestic soil. In other words, it is now becoming conclusively proven that Hassan was emailing, calling, and getting on internet chat rooms with foreign jihadists and foreign terrorists and even terrorists here on domestic soil. And still, the intelligence community did nothing. If you go to michaelsavage.com, there is an excellent story about how Hassan may even have wired money to Pakistan. And remember, Pakistan is the country where Al-Qaeda has a safe haven, where bin Laden is now being widely believed to be hiding in the tribal areas in some cave. And it is now becoming clear with each passing day that not only was this an act of terrorist mass murder, but this was an act of mass murder not by one lone man, but now increasingly likely by a man with contacts and connections to numerous other terrorists and terrorist organizations such as the Muslim Brotherhood. In other words, the question that the mainstream media is afraid to ask is that perhaps this attack was a coordinated, concerted terrorist mass murder atrocity on American soil. This was an attack that now was reminiscent of 9/11, not in scale. 13 died, not 3,000. But now a coordinated, systematic, premeditated terrorist attack has now occurred on American soil, in our American homeland, for the first time since 9/11. And this has occurred under Barack Obama's watch. And the reason why, of all of the reasons, and I'm going to get into it in the next segment and the following segment, but of all the reasons, if you want to know why Obama keeps insisting that this was not a terrorist act, this was not motivated by radical Islam and the ideology of hatred that animates all of these terrorists, not just in the United States, but in the Muslim world and in Europe. The reason why he won't admit it is because if he does, it will cripple his presidency and reveal him for the fraud and the charlatan that he is. Because just step back one second. members of the Savage Nation. Let's just say hypothetically, this had occurred during George Bush's presidency. The exact same thing. A terrorist massacre at Fort Hood, 13 dead, 21 wounded. The liberal media would have lynched George Bush on the spot. I think they would have rampaged through the streets of Washington to hang him from the White House. They would have said, after 9/11, you promised you would protect us. Now we have a terrorist attack on American soil. That is your fault, Mr. President. How come the intelligence community didn't act? How come the army wasn't notified? How come nobody did anything? This is on your head, Mr. President. This is on your head, Dick Cheney. You are now leading us to disaster. We said you were a failed president, and this is proof of it. But now that it's Obama in the White House, whoa, suddenly it's incredible. It's to me, it is mind-boggling. Now suddenly, no, as Obama said, this was an individual who just cracked. He just cracked. It's an example of workplace violence. Yep, workplace violence. I never heard of this term. Pre-traumatic stress disorder. Pre-traumatic. He hasn't even been deployed. He hasn't even seen any action. And all of a sudden now, no, hearing all the horror stories, that's what shook him up. That's what pushed him off the deep end. No. This was not an example of a psychotic person. This was not an example of somebody who just cracked under too much pressure. This was an example, as naked and stark as you can possibly see, of a terrorist attack, a jihadist attack on American soil. The American people can see it. The entire world can see it. But Obama and the liberal press corps can't. So my question to all of you is a simple one. Do you believe that the Fort Hood massacre was a terrorist attack on American soil, or was this simply the case of somebody who just literally lost his marbles? Was this a jihadist attack? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
There are going to be instances in which an individual cracks.
Yep. Yep, we just cracked. That's all that happened here. Don't listen. No, this wasn't a terrorist attack. You can't say it's a terrorist attack. Ah, it's just, hey, you're stressed. I'm stressed. And, you know, we all blow sometimes. That's just life. Look at the justifications, the shameless rationalizations for this man's action. It is absolutely disgusting. This is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you. Do you believe that the massacre at Fort Hood was a jihadist attack, or was this simply the case of somebody who just cracked under the pressure, as President Obama says? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. My friends, I'm going to get to the phones right away, but just, you know, one other quick observation. What I find absolutely stunning about all of this is that the army had this mass killer in its midst. And as he went around telling all of his colleagues, all of his classmates, all of his superiors, that he believed our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were wrong, and that the Muslims had a right to rise up and fight against the United States and decimate what he called the American Empire, nobody stood up and said anything. In fact, as we have now just found out, Hassan delivered a PowerPoint presentation where he nakedly said to everybody in the room, "We love death more than you love life." And this didn't raise any red flags? Nobody in the military even thought of telling their superiors about this? Nobody in the army thought that perhaps they may have a fanatical lunatic on their hand? Somebody who's a peddler of hate, who can stand there and kill our soldiers on Fort Hood? That didn't occur to anybody? Political correctness and liberal multiculturalism are slowly destroying this country. And as Michael Savage has rightly pointed out, unless we stand up to the insanity of liberalism and to this almost perverse desire to bend over backwards, to accommodate every person that we think is of Muslim faith or of Muslim heritage for fear of offending them, we are going to lose this war on terror. Because make no mistake about it, my friends, there are radical jihadists in our midst. And this attack at Fort Hood was the first of many to come. There is no getting around it. And my question to the Commander-in-Chief is a simple one. Instead of running around to Asia on your trade mission trips, why don't you stand up here and fight the growing enemy that is killing our troops in Afghanistan and in Iraq and now on American soil? Why don't you have the guts to call terrorism for what it is instead of using these euphemisms and obfuscations and deliberate lies to confuse the American public? Let's go to John in Modesto, California. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, you know, I'm just surprised that we're all so shocked about Obama's reaction to this whole thing. Isn't, after all, this exactly what his buddy Bill Ayers tried to do and failed? The only difference is this guy succeeded.
John, I want to thank you for the call. And my friend, that is an absolute excellent point. What you are now seeing, slowly but surely, is now the unmasking of Barack Hussein Obama. What this act reveals at its fundamental core, and this is why the press corps is so determined to play this up as an act of workplace violence and not jihadism, is that Obama is incompetent and inept. And now under his leadership, we are losing the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and now the war has come back here to haunt us in the United States. And that's something that nobody has the guts to say. I'll be right back after this break. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
I'm not going to condemn him for what he did. I don't know why he did it. I will not, absolutely not condemn him for what he had done, though. If he had done it for selfish reasons, I still will not condemn him. He's my brother in the end. I will never condemn him.
Yep, you heard it, my friends. That's Dwayne, who went to the same mosque as Nidal Hassan, who refuses to condemn what Hassan did at Fort Hood on Thursday. In other words, the mass murder of 13 of our American boys and girls, 13 of our service members dead, taken away from their families forever, 29 wounded, and that's fine, according to this sicko, Dwayne. Guys, we have another clip from him. Roll the next one. Roll it, boys.
They were, in the end, they were troops who were going to Afghanistan and Iraq to kill Muslims. I honestly have no pity for them. It's just like the majority of the people that will hear this, after 5 or 6 minutes, they'll be shocked. After that, they'll forget about it and they'll go on their day.
You know, that is the evil that is in our midst. That clip right there, this man, Dwayne, is walking among us in the United States. And there are thousands of him like that here, and millions, if not tens of millions, all across the Middle East and in Europe. And what they want to do is they want to sanctify and glorify what Nidal Hassan did. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the intellectual and talk radio heavyweight champion, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. You know, my friends, when I hear somebody like Dwayne speak like this, I realize how cowardly Barack Obama is. Because what we now need from our commander-in-chief is not for him to play these politically correct games where he is now trying to absolve himself and absolve the liberal mainstream media from the fact that for year after year, they have been denying the fact that we are in a war against Islamic fascism. They want to bury their heads in the sand. And they somehow think that if we just turn away, if we just literally look at the sky or look at the ground, that the threat is somehow going to evaporate on its own. It's not. And what Nidal Hassan did that day was he did what the radical Islamists have been telling him and telling their followers to do for decades. He went in there and shouted, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because he believed he was God's martyr, that he was a holy warrior. And as that guy Dwayne just said, as you heard from his own lips, he has a right to kill those soldiers because he believes they are murdering Muslims. That is a lie. That is an open lie. And rather than go to Cairo, and rather than go to the Muslim world as Barack Obama has done and constantly apologize to the Muslim world, he should speak with one voice and finally speak truth to power. And the truth is this: no other country in the history of the world, let me repeat that, no other country in the history of the world has done more to liberate Muslim peoples than the United States of America. It was America that liberated the Muslims of Bosnia from Serbian genocide. It was America that liberated the Muslims of Kosovo from Milosevic's thugs. It was America that liberated Afghanistan and Iraq, liberating 50 million Muslims from fascist occupation, toppling Saddam Hussein, toppling the Taliban. American soldiers have shed their blood to advance freedom and liberty in the Middle East. And this guy has the nerve, the gall, after 13 of our boys, 13 of our girls, 13 of our bravest have been shot dead, to say they had it coming? This, my friends, is the enemy that is in our midst. And rather than denounce him, and rather than warn the American people of this impending danger, Obama is off either denying it or on his trip to Asia. Mr. Obama, shame on you. Shame on you, sir. And I want to tell you right now, you may think you're pulling the wool over the eyes of the American people. You're not. Because every lie that you say, every denial that you now, that comes out of your lips, the American people now see what a puppet president you are, what an empty shell of a human being you are. You don't have the stomach, you don't have the guts, you don't have the backbone to confront the enemy that is in our midst. And that is why, sir, with all due respect, you should not be president of the United States. Let's take your calls. Let's go to David in Houston. David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I think Dr. Savage, I'm a longtime fan of his. I think he has hit the nail in the head so many times when he says, you know, I don't know what country I live in. I don't know what country I live in anymore. When something like this can happen in America, when our president pretty much says nothing, when our top leaders, politicians, make excuses for this guy, when any of these morons in the media making excuses for this guy, saying the alleged gunman, there's nothing alleged about what this guy did. There's 100 people that saw him. There was, you know, one chick that shot him. There's nothing alleged about him. I mean, if it's a spade, call it a spade. If it's a cat, call it a cat.
David, you nailed it. You have made an absolutely excellent point. And I want to thank you for that call, my friend. We are unable anymore as a society to call a spade a spade. We can't. And this is the disease of liberalism. And liberals, and I say this now clearly, cautiously, I'm choosing my words very carefully. I live in Washington, D.C. I work in Washington, D.C. I deal with the liberal press corps on a daily basis. I have to go eat with them. I have to go drink with them. I reluctantly have to go to cocktail parties with them. I hate it, frankly. I'd rather go to go see my dentist and get root canal done than to sit around for a couple hours and listen to them blather and blather on. But it's part of my job as the Washington Times. I have to go and do it. They literally are unwilling to stand up to Islamic fascism. And what I'm going to say now is the God's truth. They would rather commit suicide. They would rather die than confront the enemy in their midst. That is the level of their cowardice. That is the level of their ideological fanaticism. They are so wedded to multicultural diversity. They are so wedded to their perverse secular humanism, where they refuse to speak out against the growing evil of radical Islam. They literally are so afraid to call a spade, that they are willing to sell this country right down the river. And that is why they savaged George Bush's war in Iraq. They have undermined our troops in Afghanistan at every turn. They are now looking to sell out Israel and sell them down the river. And now they are even refusing to stand up and say that this was an act, which is the most obvious thing. It was a terrorist act. If it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck. And as we're now finding out, and you can read more about this on michaelsavage.com, as I said earlier, he's got an incredible story on this about potentially money being wired to Pakistan. It now looks conclusively that Hassan, in fact, was in regular communications with jihadists and foreign terrorists, as well as jihadists here on American soil. He now was talking to other extremists and terrorists and potentially other organizations. This is probably a concerted, coordinated attack. This was the worst atrocity on American soil since 9/11. The war has now come back to our homeland. And yet the mainstream media says nothing because they are desperate to keep him up, to prop him up. Because if the American people conclude, you know what? Under Obama's watch, our guard has been let down. Under Obama's watch, terrorism is now back, wreaking havoc on American soil. They will now demand that he do something. It will cripple and break his presidency. And now they're in desperate damage control mode. This is the level of their cynicism and the level of their depravity. Jerry, let's go to Jerry in Chicago. Jerry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's a privilege to be on with you on Dr. Savage's show. I just wanted to comment that the Democratic position on terrorism is consistent since Bill Clinton, when he described the USS Cole attack as a criminal act and not terrorism. So if that wasn't terrorism, then this just must be an individual cracking under stress.
Well, exactly. Jerry, look, I don't know how things are when you work, but you know, I'm under a lot of pressure, and sometimes I feel like cracking. And so this is all this was, Jerry. Maybe, you know what? I mean, that's what the liberals say. I mean, to me, it is insulting to even argue something like that. It is so obvious that this was a terrorist act. It's so obvious that this was a terrorist atrocity. And to me, what I just find stunning is, I can't get over this. Pre-traumatic stress disorder. He wasn't even deployed in Iraq or Afghanistan. This guy never even saw any action. But now all of a sudden, he's listening to horror stories from returning veterans, and this tipped him over the edge. And you know what the subtle storyline is here? It's the same liberal garbage we've been hearing for decades. And it's this. We as a society are partly to blame. You see, this is what I remember the night of the attack on if I don't know if you're watching Larry King, you shouldn't watch Larry King. But if you were watching Larry King, he had Dr. Phil on. Now, what the hell does Dr. Phil know about terrorism, jihadism, or hell, even a massacre on an army base? What does he know? But anyway, they get the marriage counselor out there, whose own marriage apparently is going down the tubes, but let that go. He gets on there and Larry, this was a case of a guy who just went off the deep end. This is a case of a guy who's just out of touch of reality. This is a guy that just, you know, Larry, who knows what made him did it? No, we know what made him did it. His actions were perfectly logical. It's the same actions that you mentioned, Jerry, about the USS Cole, where 17 of our men were murdered in a terrorist act. What Hassan wanted is what these jihadists want. They want to kill the American infidel. They want to impose Sharia law and a world Muslim empire. It's really that simple. And Hassan, in his mind, believed he was a martyr, a holy warrior. And the only regret that he has is not that he killed 13 Americans. He wished he would have killed many more. It's that he didn't die. Because by dying, according to their perverse ideology and their perverse faith, they will go to heaven in paradise with Allah himself and get their 72 virgins. Well, I have news for you, Mr. Hassan. Actually, you're not even Mr. You're scumbag, Hassan. Hassan, there is no 72 virgins in hell. And that's exactly where you're going to go. Because I have news for you. Your ideology is nonsense. It is a lie. And we, the American people, have now had it. And if Barack Obama doesn't stand up and speak truth to power, I am telling you, the American people are saying enough is enough, because there will be more terrorist attacks. And the American people will ask themselves once and for all, Mr. Obama, you promised us, you pledged to us that when you came to power, you were going to keep us safe. George Bush, for all of his flaws, and I wasn't a fan of George Bush, but for all of his flaws, George Bush kept us safe for 7.5 years. You've barely been in power 10 months. We've already had 13 dead and 29 wounded. We are now losing in Iraq. We are now losing in Afghanistan. Everywhere around the world, American power is scoffed at. We are no longer feared. We are no longer respected. Now our enemies have been emboldened, and now the war has come to our homeland. America, it is now time that we woke up. And it is now time that we did what Dr. Savage has been doing for years. We must now speak truth to power once and for all. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. If you want to call, the number is 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-8255. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255. Robert from Tucson, Arizona, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. How's your evening going?
Pretty good. How's yours, Robert?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I just want to say that I'm not 100% sure that we should classify this as a terrorist act. It may have been a man associated with terrorism. It may have been a Muslim man that was going on a jihad. But the fact that he attacked legitimate military targets, in my mind, it makes it an act of war and not necessarily an act of terrorism. And to start calling it an act of terrorism, one, I think, lessens the impact of other terrorist attacks, such as the attacks on the towers on 9/11. And then also, you know, as a military member myself, you know, we are the people that are supposed to be taking the risk, not the American public.
Robert, look, you make two very excellent points, my friend, and I want to thank you for that call. Look, I think it was both. I think it was clearly an act of terrorism and an act of war. To me, what is very obvious here, and it's as clear as the light of day, is that they have been at war with us for about the last 30 years. I mean, I don't want to get into a long history lesson here, but when Jimmy Carter failed to support the Shah of Iran in 1979, when he pulled the rug out from underneath him, and Ayatollah Khomeini and his fanatical mullahs acceded to power in Iran, ever since that time, there has been a growing fascist, Islamo-fascist threat against the United States. And this has been the nucleus. Iran has been the nucleus for a growing jihad against the West. And this is now a clash of civilizations. And the war has now come to the American homeland. You would have thought 9/11 would have woken us up to this seminal fact. And yet, after 7.5 long years, what did we see under George Bush? The liberals, in particular in Congress, have tied the hands of our CIA. We cannot conduct domestic surveillance. We cannot even do eavesdropping. We cannot even do waterboarding. My God, now, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. I couldn't even make this up. This is so disgusting and repulsive. The mastermind of 9/11, several CIA interrogators, did they beat him? Did they electrocute him? Did they stick nails in his hands? No, they squirted water up his nose. And they got authorization from the Justice Department saying, yeah, you can use enhanced interrogation techniques. And by interrogating him and squirting water up his nose, literally we stopped several further terrorist attacks and saved innocent lives. Now that very CIA, those very investigators, Obama has authorized that racist Attorney General Holder, Eric Holder, to go after these men and these women and to see if maybe they can be prosecuted for, wait for this, torture. Waterboarding is torture. So now these poor men and women are possibly facing prosecution against, for what? For interrogating a man who was the mastermind of 9/11, who saved I don't know how many lives. So I'll tell you what's going to come out next week. You go to sleep on this, Robert. What is going to happen next week when Joe Lieberman holds his congressional hearings is now we're going to find out not only that Hassan had numerous ties to foreign jihadist groups, not only was this a coordinated, premeditated terrorist attack and an act of war against the United States, no, we're going to find out even something more, that the intelligence officials who were monitoring Hassan, who knew about his email chatter, who knew about his chat rooms, who knew about his phone calls to that imam, that crazy imam in Yemen, they're going to say, excuse me, we were afraid of being sued. We were afraid of violating his First Amendment rights. We are afraid that we are going to be prosecuted. This is what 7.5 years of liberal insanity has done to us. And if you think what happened at Fort Hood was a disaster and a massacre, you watch, because what they are planning is even worse. And my friends, unless we wake up and do what Dr. Savage has been doing so bravely and courageously and say, no, not here, Islamic fascism will fall. Unless we call evil for what it is, there will be even more American blood. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. My friends, thank you for coming back. I have to tell you, that first hour just blew by. There is now potentially some new breaking news. Apparently, the feds, federal investigators, have now been seizing certain mosques in New York City. It is now a developing situation. The more I find out about it, the more I will let you know. But it is now a breaking story. We have been talking about radical Islam, the terrorist attacks that occurred at Fort Hood by Nidal Hassan just last Thursday, and the refusal of the mainstream media to call jihad for what it is. You know, as I look at the world today, what I am absolutely shocked and stunned by is how the mainstream media has been giving President Obama pass after pass after pass on issue after issue after issue. And just today, as Obama embarks on his 9-day tour to Asia, we have now found out that within his first year, before he even stepped foot on the plane, Obama has traveled more miles and visited more countries than any other previous president in their first year. In other words, he has been gallivanting around the world, from Europe to Russia to Cairo and now to Asia, our celebrity in chief, where he stands there giving speech after speech, criticizing the United States, denouncing the United States, apologizing for the United States, telling the entire world that we are a nation that is a racist country, a sexist country, an imperialist country, that we as a nation are in many ways should be ashamed of our heritage, that we have ignored our European allies, that we have been arrogant and bullying towards them, that we have not understood Russia enough, that we have the Middle East, that we have offended Muslim sensibilities, and that in many ways we have been an imperialist power in the Middle East, and that for that we are deeply sorry for. This man is not fit to be commander-in-chief. And throughout the entire 2008 campaign, as people like Dr. Savage and myself and others in the conservative media were trying to expose the fact that this was a junior, inexperienced senator with hardly any resume, any qualifications, and certainly lacked the character and judgment to be the leader of the free world, the mainstream media carried water for him. They embarked on a massive systematic cover-up. They ignored his ties to Bill Ayers. They ignored his ties to Reverend Wright. They downplayed the Chicago corrupt machine that surrounded him and that surrounds him to this day. They downplayed and denied his radical socialist agenda. And now, we are now seeing Obama for who he truly is, an inept, incompetent commander-in-chief who rather would spend his time gallivanting around the world, playing to adoring sycophantic crowds who cheer his name, Obama, Obama, as if he was a rock star, while America burns. As he has been traveling around the world, our economy continues to plummet. Our recession is deepening. He passed a $1 trillion or nearly $1 trillion stimulus package with the help of Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. And when that stimulus package was passed, he went and publicly vowed that this would save or create several million jobs. And more than that, that stimulus package would guarantee that unemployment would not rise over 8%. It is now at 10.2% and rising and climbing. To all of you out there in the Savage Nation, how's that stimulus package working for you? Is that giving you a job? Is that putting money in your pocket? But what to me is even more scandalous is that stimulus package and all of the government spending was not just an experiment in radical Keynesianism gone amok. This wasn't just government intervention and government spending gone crazy, liberalism on steroids. This was a naked attempt by Barack Obama, along with Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod, to do it the Chicago way. And what is the Chicago way? It is to bribe, bribe, bribe. Chicago is one of the most corrupt political cities in the United States. Don't get me wrong. I love Chicago. I have friends in Chicago. Its cultural life is almost second to none. I love their pizza. I love their jazz scene. But its politics, it is a sewer. And what they did with that stimulus package is they went out and they said, how are we going to bribe our Democratic constituencies? There is everything in there for the Hispanics, for African Americans, for labor unions, for environmentalists, for public sector employees. Everybody gets in on the action on the stimulus package. And this is an attempt to reward Obama's supporters. This is an attempt to buy votes with your taxpayer money. That was never a serious attempt to reverse our economic decline. Again, Obama was playing politics. He put party above country. Because at its core, behind all the rhetoric, behind all the supposed altruism, liberalism is never about caring or compassion. That is a lie. It is a smokescreen for political power. It is a smokescreen for the likes of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and thugs like Emanuel and David Axelrod to buy votes and get you, the American people, or as many of you as possible, addicted and wedded to government. If you look at nationalized health care, and we're going to talk about that later in the show, Nancy Pelosi, believe it or not, thinks you should go to jail. I kid you not. We have a bombshell of a story here on the Savage Nation. Just stay tuned. That Nancy Pelosi believes that if you don't buy health insurance, you should go to jail. This is our House Speaker. Behind the health care debate, it's not about solving some fake health care crisis. We have the finest health care system in the world. It is the envy of the world. That's why all those rich Saudi sheiks come here to get treatment. That's why all those Russian gangsters, when they get sick, they don't go to Moscow. They don't go to Berlin. They don't go to Canada. They come here. There's no health care crisis. But what they want to do is they want to get you addicted to government. They want a government-run system so they can control you and your health. The Democrats are the party of government. They will spread big government, not because it's good for the country, but because it makes you a ward of the state. It makes you a ward, a serf, a slave to the Democratic Party. This is about power. It's never been about principle or idealism. And again now, Obama has been revealed for the fraud and the charlatan that he is. And now, as he travels across to Asia, he is now neglecting the economic crisis in our midst. And what they've been doing, just stand back for a second. As the dollar is plummeting, as our economy is tanking, as people are losing their jobs and their homes and their livelihoods, these are real lives. These are real people. Listen, I have friends. They've lost jobs that they were in companies for 20, 25 years. They're losing their homes. They're losing their mortgages. Some of this is causing them to lose their marriages. We don't just have a 10% unemployment rate. You look at part-time labor, people who are underemployed, people who've given up looking for work. We're looking at about a 20% real unemployment rate. This is the worst economy in 70 years. And yet, rather than fixing it, rather than focusing on it, rather than putting all of his energies to put people back to work and help them feed their families, this man does David Letterman. This guy does a comedy routine on David Letterman. This guy goes with Michelle Obama on your dime to Broadway so he can celebrate a show and have dinner with his wife. This man goes like he's some Hollywood or celebrity rock star. And he goes to Prague, and he goes to Paris, and he goes to Cairo, and now he's off to Seoul, Tokyo, and Beijing so he can be feted and celebrated and toasted by all of the people who, many of them, hate America. And when they see Obama, you know what they see? They don't see an American president. They see a post-national president. He is the first president of the United States to put the interests of the world ahead of his own country. And he now is our celebrity in chief. He truly believes that what's the most important thing is for him to go and get his ego gratified, for him to be famous, for him to be applauded on the world stage. And yet here, the American people are suffering. Here, the American people are losing their jobs. They are losing their homes. They are losing their businesses. In other words, he is fiddling while America burns. And the mainstream media, rather than asking him, Mr. Obama, Mr. President, with all due respect, perhaps you shouldn't be traveling so much. Perhaps you should be talking to your general, Stanley McChrystal, because American boys are dying in Afghanistan. Perhaps you should be focusing on the unemployment rate. Perhaps you should be focusing on these skyrocketing budget deficits. Call me crazy. But wouldn't that be good old-fashioned journalism? Isn't that what journalists are supposed to do? No. Instead, it's Obama's pecs. Who's sexier, Obama or Michelle? Her thighs, his abs. Her arms, his pecs. Is Obama the sexiest man alive? Chris Matthews gets a shiver up his leg on MSNBC every time he hears Obama give a speech. A journalist, and to hold politicians accountable, your job is not to get little shivers up your legs. Sorry, Chris. But that's why you're sleazeball. Sleazeball on sleazeball. That's what I call Chris Matthews. So the question that I have for all of you members of the Savage Nation is a simple one. Do you believe Obama should go on this trip to Asia, or should he stay home and focus on the American economy? Is he the president of the world, or is he the president of the United States? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kooner from The Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner from The Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The lines are blazing. I want to hear from you. Do you believe that Obama is a post-national president? Is he the president of the world? Or is he still, do you think, America's president? I want to hear from you. Do you agree with this trip to Asia? Or do you think he should stay here and focus on the economy? 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-8255. Denise from New York, welcome to the Savage Nation, Denise.
Hi, how are you, Jeff? Good to be on.
I'm good. How are you, Denise?
I'm good. I really believe that President Obama needs to stay here and take care of business. He needs to stop apologizing for the American people and be the president of the American people. He is a puppet on a string for a lot of people that have no business being here.
Bingo. Denise, you absolutely nailed it. And I really want to thank you for that call, Denise. He is a puppet. And this is something that I've been trying to warn people about now for the last year and a half. Barack Obama is an empty shell. What you saw on the shooting of Fort Hood several hours after that shooting, where now 13 Americans, and if you count 14 with that poor baby that was the unborn infant that was murdered in the along with the pregnant mother, the pregnant female soldier. To me, the body count is not 13, but frankly 14. When those American men and women were slaughtered, all the eyes of the nation and the world were upon the president of the United States several hours after, when he was at a scheduled publicity event, at a public event. And there he was to honor some Native Americans. And now the country wanted to hear, what did the commander-in-chief have to say? What was going to be his response? The country wanted to see leadership. It wanted to see resilience. Frankly, the grieving families wanted to be comforted. Instead, this man began shouting out to people in the audience, laughing, joking, calling people out. This was a pre-scheduled event, and he was going to be the star of the show. And then eerily, 5-7 minutes into it, then suddenly he gets all somber. Suddenly now he remembers all the dead, and his thoughts and prayers are with the families. That is the mark of an amoral sociopath. That is the mark of a ruthless Chicago politician who cares about one thing and one thing only: power and ambition. This man has been driven by one thing and one thing only: to achieve power at any cost. Yet at his core, he is morally bankrupt. He is an empty shell of a human being. And he is controlled by political gangsters like Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod. But who's behind David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel? It is George Soros, the sugar daddy of the Democratic Party. Really, in many ways, the sort of chief financial architect, the chief puppeteer of the liberal anti-war progressive movement in this country. It is the likes of MoveOn.org, Daily Kos, the abortion lobby, the homosexual lobby. They are the ones that are truly pulling the strings of Obama. And we, the American people, are suffering for it. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from The Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Is Obama the first post-national president? Do you think he should be going abroad to Asia now as our economy continues to get worse and worse? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. The lines are blazing. They're lighting up. Let me try to take as many calls as I can. Bob from Chicago. Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. Nobody has brought this up, but we have a leader in Iran who has given us his ideology, as Hassan has, who issued great boasts and told us exactly what he is going to do, and I would highly recommend that we believe him.
Bob, I couldn't agree with you more. And to me, what you are now seeing with Nidal Hassan, this deliberate attempt by President Obama and the liberal political and media elite in this country to completely ignore and, in fact, downplay the jihadist impulses and motives that drove this man, to ignore the domestic terrorist threat within our midst, is exactly what they are now doing with Iran. They are denying the threat at home. They are denying the threat abroad. And what Obama is doing is he is now trying, through negotiations, to convince the apocalyptic mullahs who have said repeatedly, and Bob, this is a point I want to stress to you and to all of the listeners out there. This is not something that just President Ahmadinejad has been saying for the last couple years. Since the Islamic Revolution of 1979 that toppled the Shah and brought those fascist mullahs to power, Iran has been on the march. And the very existence of Iran, its very inception of the Islamic Republic, is based upon creating a world Muslim empire. And Ayatollah Khomeini, that nutcase, that bearded lunatic, that old geezer, that sick old geezer, told his followers, your mission on this earth is to first destroy the little Satan Israel, but then we must destroy the great Satan America. Because if we topple America, then the entire West will come crumbling down around them, and Islam will be victorious. Peace be to Allah and his prophet Muhammad. This is exactly what Ayatollah Khomeini was telling his followers, and they have now been executing it to a T. Ahmadinejad was a student in that 1979 revolution. Ahmadinejad helped to hold 52 Americans hostage during the hostage crisis. His entire life and purpose has been to destroy the United States of America. And now, just as Nidal Hassan was openly telling everybody, I believe that suicide bombings are just. I believe that the Muslims in the Middle East have a right to kill American soldiers. He said this not once. He said it repeatedly. He said it nakedly. He said it openly. He said in front of his classmates, we love death more than you love life. And yet nobody believed him. Everybody ignored him. In fact, he got promoted. This is the thing that's absolutely amazing to me. I mean, it's stunning. In fact, the performance reviews, they said he was a mediocre student and he was lazy as hell. I'm not surprised. I think one look at the guy. I mean, first of all, he could join Weight Watchers for one. The guy's a fat pig. I can't believe you're in the military. You're an embarrassment to the military. Just on that alone. Don't you guys have any fitness criteria, for God's sakes? I mean, the guy's fat as a pig. But let that go. And so, no, he gets promoted. Ahmadinejad gets promoted. He has threatened to destroy and wipe Israel off the map with a nuclear bomb. What does Obama do? He promotes him. He now engages in direct dialogue with him through his intermediaries. We are now currently negotiating a deal with Iran, and the mullahs are using us. They are buying time to build a nuclear weapon. And when they get a nuclear weapon, they are first going to wipe Israel off the map, and then they are looking to destroy the United States. And I don't want to be a broken record here, but the Washington Times, the paper that I work for, has broken story after story that Hezbollah terrorist cells have penetrated our southern border. They are already here in America. They are bankrolled, sponsored, and supported by Iran. They have been given orders by the Iranian leadership. When we hit Israel and Israel hits us and we go to war and America jumps in, then we will unleash the dogs of war in America. Then we will bring the war to the American home front. That's why I said earlier, I'm not kidding around when I say this. Look, this is an uncomfortable fact. I know that. Look, you're driving home from work. You've had a tough day. I've had a tough day. The last thing you want to hear is that there could be more terrorist atrocities. I understand that. You have a family to feed. The economy is crumbling all around you. You're worried about your mortgage payments. You're worried about putting bread on the table. You're worried about your kids' education. But I am telling you, I am pleading with you, I am warning you, there will be more terrorist actions on the American soil. What you saw was just the tip of the iceberg. Liberalism is a form of insanity. It is unilateral disarmament. It is tailor-made for these Islamic fascists. They are now beating us in Iraq. Think about this. The man who perpetrated the death of 3,000 Americans is holed up in some cave in Pakistan, and we can't catch him? We? The greatest military and economic superpower the world has ever seen? Who brought Hitler's armies to its knees? Who shattered the Third Reich? Who then stood up to the Soviet juggernaut and within 45 years defeated it? We, who as a nation were founded by defeating the British Empire, which the sun never set, we can't beat that guy in rags, running around without any underwear in the caves of Pakistan and Afghanistan? It's a shame. It's an embarrassment. And this is what the American people sense. Something is wrong with our country. We're losing our country. And this is, to me, this is what's behind the Tea Parties. It's not just about big government. It's about America. It's about traditional America. It's about us saying, no, we are the inheritors. We are the ones who come from our ancestors. We are the heirs of George Washington and the founding fathers and previous generations before us. And we will not go quietly into the good night, but we will rise up and defend freedom as our forefathers did. Tom in Washington, D.C., is this the Tom that I think it is?
Yes, it is, Jeff. Good evening. And it's so good to talk to you again. It's a great honor to be on the Michael Savage Show.
Tom, I got to tell you, I just want to tell the listeners out there, I host a daily show from noon until 3 here at the WTNT in Washington. You can listen to it on talk570.com. And Tom was one of the first callers. The show was just launched this week. Tom was one of the first callers. Tom, I have to tell you, you're a former Foreign Service officer. You are a Catholic. You are a great American, and I really want to thank you for coming on this show and for your service to this country, Tom.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. I'm a huge Michael Savage fan. I just want to say I admire Michael Savage so much because in all my time in the government, dissent was looked down upon, and Michael is a strong voice, and I admire him so much. I admire Michael Savage so much. But, Jeff, I just wanted to say briefly, I served overseas. I'm puzzled why the president has to travel like this. In all my service overseas, only one time did we support a presidential visit, and you would not believe the expense to the taxpayer to prepare for that trip. It went on for months. So I'm very puzzled at this point, Jeff.
Tom, I want to thank you for the call, and I really echo your sentiments. I don't just like Dr. Savage. I love Michael Savage. And I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say this openly, and I don't care what my fellow colleagues in the media press corps in Washington, D.C. think. Michael Savage has more courage and guts in his little pinky, I swear to you, in his little pinky than all of them combined. I hold the press corps in this city in contempt. I hold them in contempt because they don't have the guts, they don't have the courage to stand up to the gangsters and the charlatans that have now occupied our government in this country. They don't have the guts to speak out against Islamic jihadism. And Savage is one of the few voices in talk radio that has the strength, the guts, and the character to call evil for what it is. And for this, he has been persecuted. For this, he is literally almost being crucified. The British government has now banned him. They are now putting him alongside a list with Islamic terrorists and neo-Nazi skinheads. They have now put almost a target on his back, jeopardizing his safety and that of his family. For what? For what? For saying that there is radical fundamentalism in England and in Europe and in America and in the Middle East, that these people are murdering innocent men, women, and children in the name of their faith? And for this, he now has to live like some hounded criminal. He is now put smeared and slandered and put on some blacklist alongside known murderers and known terrorists. Michael Savage, if you're listening, Michael, you, sir, have done this country an honorable service. And for that, you have paid a tremendous price. But I want you to know there's at least one voice here in Washington that stands beside you shoulder to shoulder, because I admire your guts. I admire your pluck. And it took the son of immigrants like yourself to stand up for this country. Your family didn't stay here for generation and generations and generations. They didn't come off the Mayflower. They came from Russia. They were poor immigrants, as my parents were poor immigrants. And we know the greatness that is America. In fact, I think we even know it more, perhaps, than people who've been here for generations, because they take their freedom for granted. But you and I don't, because we know what the rest of the world is like. And so this is why, my friends, I will say this clearly and unambiguously. America is the greatest country in the history of the world. Our Constitution is literally the marvel of history. It is the envy of the world. And now these jihadists threaten to destroy everything that we hold dear. Well, I got news for the likes of Nidal Hassan. You think you've threatened us? You think you've scared us? You think you've intimidated us? You know what you've done? You have woken up a sleeping giant. Because I'm telling you, the American people are a hell of a lot tougher than you think. And bin Laden has made the fatal mistake that Adolf Hitler made, that Imperial Japan made, and that the Soviet communist butchers made. They think we're weak. They think we're soft. They think we're decadent. But the real America, the eternal America, the historic America, the America of the heartland, the America of people like Tom, the America of you out there in Texas and Wyoming and Kansas and Iowa and Nebraska and all of you that fight for this country, this is the America, the real America. And we have never been defeated before. And I'm telling you, we will not be defeated again, because America does not lose. America wins. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back after this break. Savage. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. To all of you out there in the Savage Nation, I urge you to go to michaelsavage.com. There are just some wonderful sizzling stories out there. There's a couple of them, in fact, that are really, really extremely good, very incisive, very timely. Bloomberg, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, apparently has now been hosting a care imam for quote-unquote dialogue on the Fort Hood shootings. This is the same Council on American Islamic Relations with links to Palestinian terrorists, with links to the Muslim Brotherhood, people that have been doing everything in their power to try to get Michael thrown off the air and go after every person who's been speaking out against Islamic jihad, both here and around the world. These are the people that Michael Bloomberg thinks should be consulted on dialogue about what happened at Fort Hood. There's some other extremely good stories. There's a very, very interesting story about it. Looks like Obama is now going to reject every Afghan war option being presented to him. This is now just leaking from the White House. It's up there on michaelsavage.com. Also, as I mentioned earlier, to me, a very, very important story. It appears that Nidal Hassan may have been wiring money to Pakistan. You can read that story on michaelsavage.com. Pakistan is where Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda have now fortified themselves. Is there an Islamist link? Was Hassan now collaborating and in collusion with terrorist organizations? You can get all of that and so much more at michaelsavage.com. Michael, if you're listening, I want to thank you again for the honor and the privilege of guest hosting for you. You have a wonderful, wonderful audience, a show that to me has been a trailblazer, has set the standard in talk radio. And I just want you to know that I've been reading your book, Banned in Britain. I know there are still a few copies left. I urge everybody out there, the last copies of the first printing, go and buy it. It is a barn burner of a read. It is a gripping read. It is the story of one man's struggle to speak truth to power. And for this, he is now being persecuted and in some ways politically and legally crucified by the authorities in Britain, who have now put him on a shameful blacklist, jeopardizing potentially his life and that of his family. And what they're trying to do is they are now trying to censor and delegitimize Michael Savage, because Savage for years has been on the forefront, on the vanguard of warning the United States and the American public of the impending doom and the impending threat of Islamic fascism. And for this thought crime, the British government and the liberal elite have been trying to silence him. Yet the truth somehow continues to win out. You cannot keep a good man down. And Michael documents that challenge and documents his struggle, which is our struggle, in his book. And Michael, I want to congratulate you on an absolute tour de force. My friend, keep up the good work. And I want you to know that at least here in Washington, D.C., among all the cowards in the chattering and media classes, you have one man that is willing to stand beside you and back you all the way. God bless you, my friend. Let's take a very quick call. We still have time for a few callers. Let's go to Peter in New York. Peter, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. You're doing a great job filling in for Michael.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
You asked if Obama's a post-national president. Clearly he is. This man has an ego that flows well past our borders. But my point was, it seems hard to understand how Pelosi and Reid act the way they do. How could they possibly think that they're going to get reelected with such reckless abandon toward the will of the people? It is my guess that they are going to somehow suspend the next elections, either maybe 2010, certainly by 2012.
Peter, trust me on this. They're not going to suspend the next election. And I want to thank you for that call. I can tell you right now what their strategy is. I have to talk to their staffers every day. It's part of my job. I know exactly what their strategy is. They honestly believe that they will lose maybe 30, 35 House seats, but they will still have enough to retain control of the House of Representatives. In other words, they will do everything in their power to ram nationalized medicine down your throat, to ram tax increases down your throat, to ram deficit spending down your throat, to ram cap and trade down your throat. And they don't give a damn that you don't like it. They don't give a damn that most moderates don't like it. Conservatives don't like it. Independents don't like it. They think that they can suffer 30 to 35 House seats going down in 2010 and still retain control of the government. But even more than that, Peter, what these Democrats ultimately care about, and Pelosi has been saying this in private, even if it costs them the majority in Congress, they are still willing to implement their socialist revolution. You know why? Because everywhere socialism has been implemented, everywhere nationalized medicine has been passed, once you lose your freedoms, it's almost impossible to get them back. And they, in the end, that's what matters to them more than anything else. This is about long-term power, and the Democrats are playing very, very serious hardball. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Welcome back, everyone. We have an absolutely dynamic hour for you. Go to michaelsavage.com and you can see some of the best stories out there, the latest on all of the information you need regarding the Fort Hood massacre. And there is also a very, very important story. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is considering a plan for higher payroll taxes to help finance health care legislation. As Michael has been warning about, as I have been warning about, as many have been warning about, you are now going to be saddled with a huge tax bill along with nationalized health care. And Michael, if you're listening out there, I have to tell you this. I can definitely guarantee you one thing. Your message that big government liberalism is bankrupting America and that this nationalized health care bill is going to destroy our health care system is resonating here in Washington. I can guarantee you that, because now many politicians in D.C., especially moderate Democrats, are now sensing that they have lost the center of the country. They have lost the heartland. And now a majority of American people now oppose the drive for government-run health care. And Michael, I have to tell you, please keep up the good fight, because the work that you do every day is damaging the Democratic agenda. It is undercutting their legitimacy. It is undercutting their popularity. And it is exposing them for the liberal socialist fanatics that they are. And Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my friend, for the honor and the privilege of guest hosting for you tonight. This is an incredible show. You have done so much for the conservative movement in this country. And I can't tell you how thrilled and honored I am to try to even attempt to fill in for your large shoes. My friends, Nancy Pelosi is not hearing the American people. Despite the fact that now government-run health care has become deeply unpopular with most segments of American society, as support for nationalized health care dwindles, Nancy Pelosi is now putting maximum pressure on Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats to ram through their bill. And now, after winning by a very narrow vote, just squeaking it through the House on Saturday, now Pelosi has come out and has shown her totalitarian socialist tentacles, her true thuggish self. When asked by a reporter, what about all of those citizens who don't want to pay for health insurance? What if they don't want to pay for your government-run program? What if they don't want to be thrown into your exchanges or your bogus cooperatives? What if they figure, listen, as a free-born American citizen, I will pay for health insurance if and when I want to. I want that opportunity. I want that freedom of choice. Will you then jail somebody? Will you then so penalize them that you will throw them into prison? Believe it or not, here is Nancy Pelosi's answer. Boys, let's roll clip 7.
Do you think it's fair to send people to jail for not buying health insurance?
Well, the point is that we want to make sure that everyone has access to health care. For a long time now, people who haven't had health care or provided it have placed the burden on others. We all have to do our part, and that is the point of the bill.
But, Madam Speaker, I'm just trying to understand. If you don't buy health insurance, you go to jail?
Well,
you didn't answer my question.
I think the legislation is very fair in this respect.
The legislation is very fair in this respect? You just heard it right from the proverbial horse's mouth. She is now saying, these are Gestapo tactics. This is like Castro's Cuba. This is like Kim Jong-il's North Korea. Are you telling me that if I, as an American citizen, do not want to buy health insurance for whatever reason, because I'm a young man, because I'm relatively healthy, because I want to save money and, I don't know, do something else with it? Maybe, I don't know, my wife just lost her job. We need the extra money to put food on the table. Maybe I'm a young single person. I don't really need it right now. For whatever the reason, You're going to put me in jail? You're going to incarcerate and imprison me? With drug addicts? With rapists? With murderers? With thugs? Because I don't want to buy health insurance? This is your socialist America? This is the change and the hope that you guys pledged in the 2008 campaign? This, to me, is shocking and stunning. It is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And then, just to top it off, I mean, this woman is unbelievable. She should get her own reality TV show. I'm not kidding. She should be with, you know where she belongs? I know she's from San Francisco, but honestly, she should go to Hollywood. She really should. She should go to Hollywood. How do you live in an absolute Marxist fantasy land where you have no idea the suffering and the oppression of people in places like Cuba or North Korea or Venezuela, or you name your socialist toilet? But this, it doesn't stop with her. This $1.2 trillion healthcare plan that is going to saddle future generations with a massive new entitlement and with a massive debt for generations to come. Frankly, debt that we can never repay. You know what she calls it? I'm not making this up. A Christmas present. She's going to have it. She says that she and Senate Majority Leader Reid, along with Obama, are going to ram something through, pass it, and sign it by December 25 as a Christmas present to you, the American people. Guys, let's roll clip 8.
I'm confident, I'm hopeful that we will have a bill for as a Christmas present to the American people.
A Christmas present? More like coal in your stockings. I mean, I got to tell you guys, if this is your Christmas present, ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay. Talk about Scrooge. I mean, talk about somebody coming in there and just picking your pockets. This health care bill, if it is passed, mark my words, will be the death knell of traditional America. It is the final step in the socialist transformation of the United States into a European nanny state. The Democrats, led by Pelosi, Reid, and Obama, can now taste it. They can now taste the attainment of their socialist dream. They now can do what Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson and Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton could only dream of. They could now destroy capitalism in the United States once and for all. They could now destroy this constitutional republic. And to me, what I find stunning in all of this is nobody is asking the most basic and simple question. Forget the fact that socialized medicine is a wrecking ball upon our healthcare system. Forget the fact that it would lead to rationing and long lines. Forget the fact that it's literally so expensive we can't even afford it, and that it'll lead to skyrocketing taxes. Forget all of that. Just forget it. The bill is not even constitutional. Nobody has even asked this question. We live in a constitutional republic. And when it comes to issues like religion, suddenly, all of a sudden, the liberals say, no, separation of church and state. And they start haggling about what's in the Constitution, what's not in the Constitution. But on this issue, all of a sudden, nobody wants to ask the obvious question, the elephant in the room. Where does it say in the Constitution of the United States that the federal government has the power to take over 1/6 of our economy, to take over our healthcare system, to literally nationalize our very bodies? That's what socialized medicine is. It owns your body. Because if you don't have control over your health care, if you're dependent upon the state, if you're dependent upon some government-run doctor or nurse, and you have no other genuine option, my friends, if they control your health, they control your body. And that is the ultimate form of socialist control. And that's why, come hell or high water, Obama, Reid, and Pelosi are determined to ram this thing down their throat. Because ultimately, if they pass this, you will see in this country what you've seen in Canada and in Britain and all across Europe. You will now see a permanent liberal ruling class. Every conservative party in those countries is a phony conservative party. It is liberalism on the cheap. None of them confront nationalized health care. None of them confront government-run pensions. None of them seek to truly roll back taxes. None of them in any way defend free market capitalism in any way, in any shape or form. In no way. They are essentially Democrat light, liberal light, because when you get people addicted to government, they become children. They become literally infantilized. They lose their fundamental rights and liberties. They lose their sense of personal responsibility. They lose their very sense of themselves as human beings in charge of their own destiny. They are now begging the state. And like beggars, they become children. This is what they want. This bill is not about solving a bogus healthcare crisis. There is no crisis. This bill is about political power. This bill is about Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid determining the most fundamental decisions that you can make, namely the care of you and your family. For God's sakes, America, stand up and stop this bill. Whatever we have to do politically, ideologically, socially, if it means protesting, if it means writing our letter, members of Congress, if it means phoning them, if it means putting maximum pressure on wavering moderate swing state Democrats, let's do what we need to do. Because I am telling you, if this bill passes, it will be the end of America as we know it. And believe me, you will not like what you see. Do you think Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid will pass a nationalized government-run healthcare bill? I want to hear from you. Will the Democrats succeed in their push to pass socialized medicine by December 25th of this year? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Do you think the Democrats are going to be able to ram through their government-run health care plan by Christmas of this year, as Nancy Pelosi has vowed? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. You know, members of the Savage Nation, I have to tell you, I am, as I was just telling some of the producers off the air during the break, I am originally from Canada, and I have lived and witnessed socialized medicine firsthand. And I have to tell you, the propaganda that you have been hearing from the liberal media and from the Democratic Party is utterly despicable and dishonest. Having seen socialized medicine and experienced it up close, there is no comparison between the Canadian system and the American system. Let me just give you one small example. If ever I had a cold or a flu in Canada before I came to the United States, I would try not to go to the doctor's office. And I'll tell you why. Because in Canada, the rationing has become so problematic that if you come in at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you are lucky to be seen by the doctor at an emergency room, at a hospital, never mind at a clinic. If you're at a clinic, my friend, you're lucky if you see him that day. You are lucky if you come in at 8 and you are out by 6 in the evening. And you are lucky. My mother, God rest her soul, was struck with pancreatic cancer over 5 years ago. For 5 long years, she battled cancer in Canada. And I remember once she called me up. I'll never forget this. I will take this with me to my grave till the day I die. She said, "Jeff, you've been in America so long, you have forgotten what socialized medicine is like here in Canada. I come in for my regular chemotherapy every day. The cancer is ravaging my body. It has gone from my pancreas to my stomach, to my lungs. I have to deal with the debilitating and ravaging effects of chemotherapy. I do not even get to see my own doctor. My cancer specialist has literally no time to see me. I am treated by a nurse. And I'm lucky to see my doctor once a month. And you know how long he has to see me? When your father comes, he literally times it. Because they are shocked at how quick and how rapid the visit is. Never once did one meeting go beyond 2 minutes. 120 seconds. My mother and my father paid taxes for over 40 years. Not one day did they stay on the unemployment line. Not one day did they collect welfare. My father broke his back in a factory. My mother literally almost ruined her hands cleaning homes and doing everything she could to give her children a better life. And now let me ask all of you this question. Was this her just reward? Was this fair? Is this compassion? For her to suffer from cancer and not even be able to see her doctor for more than 2 minutes? This is socialized medicine. This is what they are going to unleash upon us unless we stand up and speak with one voice. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255. Do you think the Democrats will do what Nancy Pelosi has predicted and pass a health care insurance plan, a government-run bill, and have it on Obama's desk by Christmas of this year? I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. Let's go to our phone lines. They're blazing. Julia in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, I just had to call. I am praying to God that they do not pass this bill. I am 50 years old. I was diagnosed with stomach cancer 2 years ago, and all I see is a death knell for myself, and I want to know, where are the Republicans? Why are they not fighting for us? Why are they not speaking up louder? All I see now today is Lindsey Graham conspiring with the Democrats and on the road to being censured. Where are these people that supposedly want our vote in the midterm elections, and they're not speaking up? They're not fighting for us.
Julia, thank you so much for that call. I am very sorry about your stomach cancer. I lost my mother to cancer. I lost my mother-in-law, who I loved very dearly. She was like a second mother to me. To cancer, and I lost my best friend just last year to cancer. My heart and my prayers truly go out to you and your family. Julia, look, you're asking now the $64,000 question. The Republicans are gutless cowards. And if that's something that we should have learned during the Bush years. It was the Republicans that gave us runaway deficits. It was the Republicans that wanted to ram amnesty for illegal immigrants. It was George Bush who gave us that wasteful, costly, ridiculous prescription drug benefit for seniors. In other words, they have been betraying conservative principles at every turn. And to me, what I find most disgusting here in Washington, having to deal with them on a day-to-day basis, and you mentioned Lindsey Graham, he's another John McCain. He's a turncoat Republican. He's a fake conservative. These people care more about getting reelected and swindling you, the American people, and especially you conservatives, saying they're out there fighting for you. They're not fighting for you. They're fighting for themselves. And they have been bought and paid for by the lobbyists in this city. And in the end, all they care about, frankly, is stuffing their pockets and getting media time on Fox News. They don't give a damn about people like you, Julia. And that's why I hope and I pray for your sake and for everybody out there in the United States, and especially for those of you, if you have cancer, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, if you have cancer, if you have any kind of serious, potentially fatal illness, if you get stuck in a government-run system, you're finished. You're dead in the water. You might as well just sign your death warrant right on the spot. The best system in the world is the American system. And it's the best system in the world because it has substantial private insurance. It has a lot of a free enterprise system that drives it. That's why we have the most innovative drugs. That's why we have the most innovative technologies. That's why we're the envy of the world. And the Democrats, they've wrecked our inner cities. They've wrecked our borders. They've wrecked our public schools. There's nothing they haven't wrecked. They've wrecked our family with their sexual revolution. They've wrecked every institution in American society. Now they want gays in the military. They're going to wreck that too. And now they're going for the whole enchilada. They're going to go and wreck our healthcare system. And unless we Americans wake up to this and say clearly and unequivocally, no, and there will be a tremendous political price to pay, we will not forget this, not for 2 years or 4 years, but for generations to come. This will be an albatross around your neck. Unless we say that with one voice loudly and clearly, I truly fear that America's days as a superpower and America's days as the greatest healthcare system in the world will be over. Jerry in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation, Jerry.
Hi, Jeff. I agree. I don't want a single-payer system. I would oppose such a thing. But right now, under the system we have, private insurance companies, and we should have private health insurance companies, but private health insurance companies have too much ability to kick people out of insurance for minor reasons, to search for relatively minor reasons to kick people out of insurance premiums they've been paying for 30, 40, 50 years. They can kick them out and pad their profits. There's nothing to fight back against this. There's no leverage against that. That's why you need some kind of public option to put some teeth in stopping insurance companies screwing over Americans paying premiums into the health insurance system.
Jerry, thank you for that call. Jerry, look, you have now made the argument of the other side. And here's where I think you're wrong, Jerry. Yes, private insurance companies, like any company, like any private corporation, are not perfect. This is the essence of a capitalist system. It is not a utopian system. You see, Jerry, right there, you and I disagree on a fundamental principle level, on first principles. I do not believe that society is perfect. I don't. And I don't believe you can have a perfect criminal justice system or a perfect healthcare system or even a perfect political system. Because human nature is born with original sin, and we are all flawed. And so as flawed human beings, we will make wrong choices. People will get greedy. People will get selfish. People will abuse power. So yes, am I a shill for the private insurance companies? No. But the issue is this. We can make serious reforms that will protect consumers, give them portability, give them accessibility, give them more choice, lower costs. And how do you do that? By bringing in more competition. But that's not the issue. What you want to do by bringing in a public option, Jerry, and there's no getting around this, public option means price controls. Public option means that you will have an artificially low price. And this will drive out all of the private insurers out of the healthcare market. It is the first step on the road to a single-payer socialized system. And Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid know it. And that's why, even though overwhelmingly Americans do not want a public option, because they know where it's leading to, it is the road to socialized medicine. It is the road to a complete takeover of our medical care. They are going to ram it through and fight for it like it's the second coming of Jesus Christ, because they know if they get public option, they now have the infrastructure in place to do what they did with Medicaid and Medicare, which is expand it, expand it, expand it, until pretty soon 100% of every American in this country has to get their health care from the government. And believe me, Jerry, you don't want that, because if you get sick, my friend, you're going to end up like my mother. And you know what that is? 6 feet under the ground. Let's go to Derek in Portland. Derek, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, my question was, once, if they do ruin the health care system, which I believe this bill would ruin it, there will be a lot of people that will not pay. And will they have to expand the government so far as to come have federal police in our towns to enforce this jail time for the people that don't pay? Will there be another bill that they have to pass to give them power and have feds in every town?
Derek, you shouldn't be asking such commonsensical questions. You see, right away, I can tell you right now, don't come to Washington. Don't ever run for office and come down here to Washington, because you're going to be the skunk at the party, Derek. I can tell you that right now. Common sense, that's a very dangerous thing here in Washington. That, you know, they always talk about endangered species. The libs love that. The spotted owl, the seal, the polar bear, everything is endangered. I'll tell you what's really endangered, common sense. Yeah, you're completely right. If Nancy Pelosi is threatening to put people in jail if they don't want to purchase health insurance, how are you even going to enforce that? I mean, to me, this is Orwellian. This is Big Brother run amok. This is totalitarianism. This is the kind of stuff you'd see in the Soviet Union. This is the kind of stuff that thug, that butcher Castro does in Cuba. It's my way or the highway. You don't like it? We'll throw you in prison, into the gulag, into the prison system, into the cell. We'll torture you. We'll beat you. This, to me, is unbelievable. And, you know, outside of the Savage Nation, outside of talk conservative talk radio, where else? Who else is reporting on this? This is, to me, what I find, frankly, embarrassing as a journalist. I'm almost ashamed as a journalist. Our job is to hold the politicians and the political class accountable, responsible. We are now, I say this to journalists all the time, and they say, literally, they look at me like I'm from Mars. I say, look, as a journalist, we are like secular priests. We are not here for fame or fortune. We're not here to pad our pockets. We're not here to be on the O'Reilly Factor or on Sleazeball with Chris Matthews or all these other stupid shows so that we can be famous and have our hair puffed up and sprayed and coiffed and somehow think we're like Hollywood for ugly people. No, that's not why we're here. We are here to serve you, everybody in the Savage Nation. What Michael does on a regular basis to speak truth to power, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, and say, I'm sorry, but we are the fourth estate. We are the ones who guard the guardians. We are the ones who look after your interests. And we are the ones who should speak out against abuse of power, against corruption. She's a thug. She's in the wrong country. She belongs in North Korea. She belongs in Cuba. She would have been great in East Germany under the Stasi. I'll tell you the truth about, look, Nancy Pelosi to me is a joke and an embarrassment. And to me, what is most chilling about her, when you see her in person, as I have, at a press conference or something, I'm not saying this because she's a liberal. Russ Feingold is a liberal. He's a smart man. I disagree with him, but he's a smart man. There are many members of Congress who go, look, I think he's a snake, but there's no question about it. He's got a high IQ. He's a well-read, well-educated man. She's got literally nothing between her ears. I don't think there's a brain up there. Her eyes are empty. All she can do is read the talking points. I have never seen somebody that stupid in my entire life. I have to tell you, her and Catherine Harris, the Republican, she was another one. I got to tell you, I met her in person. I'm like, ay, 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 how did you get elected? But Nancy Pelosi, I've never seen something like this. I mean, to me, she couldn't run in your small town city council. She wouldn't be fit to be a dog catcher. Hell, she wouldn't be fit to clean your toilets. She's that stupid. And she's running the House of Representatives. She's the third most powerful person in this country, which means the third most powerful person in the world. My friends, if this is not a clearer example of the bankruptcy of America, of literally the disaster that is now befalling upon us, then nothing is. Because Nancy Pelosi is not a politician. She's a joke. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion, Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Let's get to a couple of more callers if we can. Brenda in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi.
Hi. What can I do for you, Brenda?
Well, I was calling to you wanted to know
what we thought, would the Democrats push this health care thing through by Christmas? And I think that they will, and the reason I do is because we're no longer government of the people, by the people, or for the people. We're government of the greedy, by the greedy, and for the greedy. And they will make some kind of pork to get it passed by those that are holding out on it. But also with the Canadians coming down to Florida here, we have a special doctor's agency called CanCare, Canadian Care, and they flock to see him when they get here. And he also has to go up to Canada and talk with their insurance carriers once a year. So, you know, they're coming here.
Oh, I know. Brenda, listen, I want to thank you for your call. I know that Canadians are look, my sister now has left Canada. I've been in the United States for many, many years, but now she's followed me. She's now moved down with her husband to Florida primarily, and her husband is a doctor. He is a general practitioner who served in Canada, and he was telling me, I will no longer work for this unethical, immoral system. We are denying people quality care. We are denying them what they need. I can't even serve my Hippocratic oath, first do no harm, because so many of them are in such long waiting lines, they are being harmed. And so now he's fled down to Florida, along with my sister. So my question to the Democrats is an obvious one. If single payer is so great, if nationalized health care is so great, why are so many Canadians flocking down to Florida? I can tell you the answer right now. Because you have the greatest health care system in the world. For all of its flaws, for all of its problems, nothing is perfect. It is the gem of the world. And now you are about to take that gem and literally smash it into 1,000 pieces. And if the Democrats do it, I am warning them, they are going to see a political backlash like they've never seen. Let's quickly go to Steve in Virginia Beach. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine. I got a problem with the health care bill. Big time. We've been doing a transmission repair, kind of auto repair, general repair for years. And we've been screwed by the car companies giving away free cars. The government has, like, bailed out the car companies to help them fix, you know, the economy. And all we've been doing is been getting... I screwed on it because
Steve, you nailed it. You've been getting shafted. You want to understand the Obama administration in a nutshell? I can tell you right now. The auto sector got their bailout. The greedy Wall Street shysters, the bankers at Goldman Sachs, the crooks that run, the gangsters that run Goldman Sachs, who literally plundered and pillaged our economy of hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. That's how much they've been stealing from the American people. They got their bailout. The banks got their bailout. The Hispanic Democratic constituencies got their bailout through the stimulus package. The labor unions are getting their bailout. The environmentalists are getting their bailout through cap and trade. Everybody's getting a bailout, except you, the American people. You are the ones that are getting shafted, and you're the ones that are being left with the bill. And my friends, I only have a few minutes, so let me just conclude by saying this. Why do I admire Michael Savage so much? It's not because I'm on his show, because he gives me the great honor and privilege of guest hosting for him, which again, Michael, I want to thank you because you are just such a generous man and this is such an incredible show with such an incredible audience. But it's not because of that. If he never has me on the air again, it's because he is one of the few journalists and commentators in this country that has the guts and the backbone and the courage and the integrity to stand up to the liberal ruling class that is slowly destroying this country piece by piece, year by year, month by month. And now under Obama, they truly believe that they can succeed in their socialist revolution. They are going to finish with Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson started. Well, my friends, I have news for them. They are now underestimating middle America. They are now underestimating you, the members of the Savage Nation. And I am telling you this as a student of history, as somebody who was trained as a historian before he became a columnist at the Washington Times, that many times elites and rulers think that they have swindled and shafted and exploited the people. But every time there is a political rebellion, every time people rise up in defense of their freedoms. And now, once again, this is the calling of our generation. If we do not win the war against Islamic fascism, if we do not stop big government liberalism at home, the America as we have known it, the America that all of you grew up in, the America that I came to pursue the American dream, that will be gone. And that is why, my friends, I urge all of you to stand up and follow Dr. Savage's example, to stand up and speak truth to power, because we have the numbers, we have the truth, we have justice on our side. There is no stronger power on earth. Michael, thank you once again, my friend, for the privilege of hosting this show, of filling in for you. And may all of you, God bless you and God bless America.
Savage.
Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.